Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel, and today I'm talking to one of my clients who is in Foot Traffic Formula. Her name is Sharon Knight, and I'm really excited because, first of all, I'll explain this. At the end of the recording, I introduce her usually after we've chatted. She said to me, "I'm so sorry. I feel like that was a very different episode than what you normally talk about." And I'm like, "Sharon, you know me and you know how I always talk about be different, right? Like, don't just try to be better than people, be different." I'm like, "I love different." I'm so excited that we talk about things today that we normally don't talk about on the show. Like, this is exciting for me. And I know usually these are the episodes that we get the best reaction from. So if this is something that you hear, you resonate with, make sure to DM me on Instagram. Tell me about it. I want to make sure we let our listeners know if they want more of this type of content. And please remember that the on-air coaching calls are reserved for Foot Traffic Formula clients only. So we get a lot of people messaging, "How do I get to do this?" It is strictly for those people. And if you're in the program, just shoot an email over to us. You guys know how to reach us and we will make sure to get you on air. All right. So let's jump into this episode. I think you are really going to like it. Sharon, welcome to Foot Traffic. This is going to be so much fun today. I love talking with current clients and where you're at and what you're doing, and I'm just here to help, and I'm just so excited you're here.
Thank you. I am so excited. I've been following you for months, so I'm really excited to get this on-air coaching call with you.
Yay. So, okay, as we're kind of diving in, I want people to know first, can you just tell me a little bit of, even though I know, tell my audience yeah. about your business, what you do, so that they can follow along as I'm coaching you through this.
Yep. So I own Tumble Beans Cafe and Play. It's an indoor play space and cafe located outside of Boston, Massachusetts in Medway. And we service families with children from 0 up to 7 years old. So we're a full service cafe with a 1200 square foot climbing structure and sort of a children's museum component as well. And we do birthday parties, enrichment classes, all kinds of fun stuff.
Cool. I love it. Okay. So as we're diving in today, I'm really going to let you take the reins here. Are there certain things that you want to ask me? Is there any struggles you're having currently that we can dive right into?
Yes, I really want to talk about growth, especially okay. with my team. Mm-hmm. We are opening our second location just out of necessity. We hit okay. our capacity really often. And you know, when you drive 30 minutes to go yeah. to a place with your child and you can't get in, it doesn't create the best yes. customer service experience. Mm-hmm. So we really want to grow. And we're trying to figure out, what does growth look like? Does it mean we have more company-owned locations? Are we going to go the franchise route? We're just really trying to figure out, how do we grow our team? Do we hire our own employees or try to reach out and, you know, help other people become business owners?
Okay. So what's funny is you and I both understand sold out. I know it sounds very glamorous, but the feeling when you have to tell, especially a parent, that something is sold out is like the worst thing in the world. We are always so paranoid that we are going to sell out of our recitals. We sell like 4,000 to 5,000 tickets and we're nervous that we're going to sell out. It's crazy. Yes. So I feel you. And it is a problem. I want people to hear that because they're thinking, "Oh, poor Sharon, she's selling out her services." No, it is a problem. Okay, so there's so many ways you can grow. And I love that you're like thinking of all these ways. Because the first question is, could you just add on more space right where you are, have one main location? I've seen people add on a building close by or try to get something bigger, moving. Are you leasing or owning right now your space?
I'm sorry, could you say that last part one more yep. time, Stacey?
Do you lease or own your space?
We lease our space.
Okay. And is there room to expand at this current location?
No, there's not.
Okay. And how long is your lease here for?
It's 7 years. So I have another 5.5 years.
Okay. So you're staying. So there's really no option for the, okay. I wanted to get that background. Yep. So we really have to add a second location somewhere. Yes. Now the next question is, I am somebody that has built a second location. I believe they are 9 miles apart and, they're right next, they're one's in one city and one's in the neighborhood city right next door. And, people thought that was too close. They were shocked that I did that. But honestly, mm-hmm. when you live in a certain neighborhood, you want to go to that neighborhood. You're not really interested in going to the town over if you don't have to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So my question is, have you assessed that situation, the area around you to decide like, where would be a really good location for us to go that's not too close to compete with the current location, but would be really a benefit?
Yep. So what we ended up doing is we surveyed our customers, finding out where they wanted to see a second location. Mm. And we figured like if we had 90% saying one area, then that's probably where 90% of our customers yeah. are coming from. So we, you know, it's only 25 to 30 minutes from our current location, okay. but I think it's going to service a large part of our population that won't yeah. have to travel 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. And it's okay if you steal some of the clients from the first location, if you're at capacity and now you have more room to service those people there, that's right. great. I also like that they're close enough together. 25 to 30 minutes, you will get some credibility, right? Some people 25 to 30 minutes already know who you are. So mm-hmm. when they see your logo pop up, it's like, oh, wow, there's another location, right? Versus going so far away that they have nothing to do with one another. So I do like this idea. Have you started looking in this area at other commercial spaces?
Yes. So we have found a space that we want to build out.
Okay.
And we're going to do the build out. It'll probably take 6 months, but so I'm growing my team. I have 2 managers. I want to add on and have an even bigger team. I have about 15 employees, but you know, now we need, so if we start building the second location, I then need to start looking at a third because it takes a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, my customers think that it'll happen like overnight. No, it's quite a process.
So you're saying maybe hire a manager now and train them in the first location to get ready to go open the second one?
Yeah. So okay. yes. Do I do that? Or, you know,
it's really hard.
It's growing a team is really, really hard. And I'm thinking if maybe we want to go the franchise route and mm-hmm. I'm sort of looking to you for advice on yeah. how did you create your system so that you can sort of take yourself out
yeah.
the day to day.
Okay, great. So first, just so you're aware, when I opened my second location, mm-hmm. I didn't have anybody to go there and it was me that worked it and I trained mm-hmm. all of the new people.
Oh,
so
okay.
This is such a great question that you're bringing up. If I yeah. were you and you have, because here's the thing, a second location, it takes money and mm-hmm. whatever you think it's going to take, it's probably going to take more, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to be thinking about cash flow, but you also have to ask yourself, can I afford to hire somebody right now and maybe pay them a lower rate because they're training, knowing that eventually they'll be getting a bigger raise to become the manager there? I would probably start training them now, knowing you want them to get this up and running. And they could already start thinking of outreach and advertising and what can we do in that city to make sure they know we're coming? How can we be at other events in the area so they know, like, save the date, we're opening at this time, just stuff like that.
Okay.
So I do think that could really help you. Because here's the thing, you have to ask yourself, how much are you in the building, right? And when there's two, you really have to make sure that the one is self-run or you're going to be just back and forth like a crazy person.
So since I started listening to you, I've mm-hmm. really been like listening to how you do things. And about 6 months ago, I did hire a manager and I've been slowly taking myself out. Okay. And I just got back from a 10-day vacation where my manager completely handled everything. And
amazing.
It was amazing. Like I spent
That's
vacation
huge.
With my family. So like, I feel like I can do it, but yeah. I also was always had my phone and like, I know I could always be available. So now I'm thinking I really need to figure out what those processes are,
yeah.
the systems, and sort of getting them to the point where they don't feel like they need to ask me the question before they just go and make the decision themselves.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a little.
That takes up a lot of time.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give you a little tip on that. So first, another thing to say is that manager, if she's doing a great job, could also be training the new manager. The new manager could just be job shadowing the other manager.
Okay.
Entire year or 6 months while you're building. That could be great and doesn't take you, you know, having to do this. Now, I would put the systems onto the plate of the manager if she has time and if she's like so maxed out, even if she worked on systems once, you know, every Friday for an hour, it will still get you somewhere. So what you need to do when you first start creating systems, and when I first started creating systems, we were very successful already. I mean, the amount of money we were bringing in, it's like, how did we not have systems? It was just scary, but a lot of business owners are running and doing well and they don't have systems in place. So there's a lot of people just like you and I who already have the success, but now it's like time to really get the foundation in there. So what you do typically when you're looking at building a system is you look at the position and you look at like the job posting, the job tasks, right? If you have these, you need to, that's where you're going to get started. So if I'm trying to hire this manager, I'm going to start, you know, location manager, and then I'm going to start writing down everything they're going to be responsible for. Okay. So let's say there's 20 things on that list. Well, all 20 things needs to become a documented system. Okay. So if I want this person to, you know, fill out a nightly shift report or, you know, check the cash register, you know, like I'm making up stuff. When I say nightly shift report, I should be able to click on this. If it's in a project management software, click on nightly shift report, and then it opens up a video or a template of how to do that task.
So
the one manager is training the new manager, they can be putting these systems in place together. So it starts with
like that.
Yeah. So it's like, we're going to have to hire her first. Well, let's get the job posting and get everything written down. Job postings can be really fluffy sometimes. And you're not even like telling them what they're doing. And I always tell people, if this person's going to have to clean the toilets, you better tell her she's cleaning the toilets. Like you need to be very honest about what is happening or they're just going to quit on you. Like this is not the time to make you sound really amazing. I mean, yes, we want to, but we want to make sure she's well aware of what this job entails.
Right.
So step one, let's get that job posting and then get that job posting in a project management software, whether you're using like Trello, we use Monday, whatever you're using, you then click on that link. And it should take you to the next step, which is explaining that. And you can link it with a Google Doc. You know, we have a lot of videos inside of Dropbox and it's just labeled systems. So we can create a video, save it to Dropbox in the systems folder, and you can be neat and organized in there too, right? You can have it saved by position. But then the biggest thing is, inside of your project management software, if I were to train this person, I want to be able to click on manager, click on the task, open the task, and I should be able to come into your business and do whatever it is. No, and I don't even need to know anything about your business.
Okay.
That is a good system, right?
Okay.
And some random person can come in and actually do it. That is what you need to create. And honestly, it'll take a year and it'll evolve year after year after year.
So you're saying all I really need to do is figure out how I want all of this organized and just put it at a time and as she trains the new manager, and then it kind of takes it off of my plate.
Yes. And I think that's what's so daunting is people think I don't have time to do systems.
Yes.
don't have to. You definitely want to approve the system. You want to have somebody double check the system or you actually do it to make sure that it's really working. And then this is something we haven't done yet, but we're going to start to implement is they say that like once every 90 days or 6 months, make somebody go in and do the system for that person to see if the system is actually up to date and relevant and can the person figure it out. Because what happens when the manager goes on maternity leave or she gets sick or she quits? Hiring and training isn't that daunting when you have systems in place.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I think, you really can. I mean, people look at me and they're like, how are you doing this? It's not as difficult as we make it out to be. Now, here is another big tip that I will share. And this is hard when you when we are naturally control freaks, right? It's really hard to let go. But my sister had to be super honest and say to me, she's my general manager of my studios, and she was like, you either need to like let me do this or yes, I'm going to have to make a phone call to you every however many minutes something new comes up and we're having another problem or struggle. So she had said to me specifically, you know, like basically trust me, let me do this. So what we came up with, and this is a system, is if there is no system on whatever is happening in this moment, the person in charge gets to make the system right then and there of what they would do based off of our company values, knowing what they think we would do, right? And then they get to come the next day, tell us what's going on, and we decide, is that the way that we want the system to be permanently, or was it just good enough for yesterday and now we're going to fix it for the future? Right? And I kind of feel like giving that person the relief of, Stacy's not going to be mad and yell at you tomorrow. We didn't have a system. It's not your fault. You did the best you can in the moment that you were in. And you didn't call me during dinner to ask me a question that really isn't that big of a deal. Right?
Right.
So they only get to call and interrupt you in the evenings or on a Saturday if it's something that is pretty urgent and major. Like, and I'm trying to think what that would be. So I would say if somebody like fell in my parking lot and they're irate at the front desk screaming about suing me or, you know, something like that. You better believe I'm going to accept that phone call. You can definitely call me. Another situation was there was a tornado or the lights went out or something. And there was a tornado drill and the person at the front desk had never done that. And they're like, I've got 100 people in this building, lots of kids, and I don't know what to do with them. Yes, absolutely. And when that actually happened, this did happen. She didn't call me. She called her manager. Her manager didn't answer. She called the general manager. That person didn't answer. Then she called me. And when she called me, I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Because I knew she would never have called me. That is how you get out of your business, right? Like that is how you put systems in place.
You know, it's funny. Like I came back today just to check in after being gone for 10 days and there were new shelves up. There were curtains in the studio. Like so much more got done. And I think it's because I sometimes just come in and give them this whole list of tasks that I think are important. But when I'm gone, they're able to focus on what simplifies like their job. And it was amazing when I came in.
Yeah. And my husband always jokes, I'll give him something to do. And in the middle of him doing that project, I'm like, okay, I need you to do, you know, fill in the blank. And he's like, did you want me to do the first thing or do you want me to do this? We do that with our employees, right? We're just like throwing things at them and we're confusing them because we're the boss. And now I've just demanded something else of you. Leaving your business, taking breaks, getting out of there is the best thing you can do for the systems and structure of your business.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Like I can do this. Yes.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. And I feel like taking that 10-day vacation was just a little step in the right direction to confirm this can be done, right? Because that's all you're talking about is a longer vacation, you know, at another business. You're really trying to figure out, do you have the right systems in place? And I would keep practicing pulling yourself out, even if it's just for you not to go on vacation, but to, you know, stay at home and work on the business for a week just to see how do they do without you again, or were there any cracks or loopholes or anything that need to get tightened up a little bit?
Okay. Yeah. Another question to piggyback on that is that, okay, so this is business operations, right? So that was my first step, was just getting all of that handled. How did you decide what was the next thing to take yourself out of? Because I'm sure you were like me, you were business operations, you were HR, you were payroll, sales and marketing. So how did you decide?
So, I mean, I'm still deciding, right? Like I'm not fully out of everything. So as I am doing my day-to-day, I start to really reflect on what do I not like? What am I not that good at? What am I procrastinating on that really should happen, but I keep thinking, oh, I'll get to it later. And you just start to strip one at a time off your plate. This is what I did, and this is not like the order you have to do it in, but the first thing I did was I got out of the classroom. I stopped being the technician that actually did the finished product. That was my choice. And it was more so because I saw how much needed to get done in the admin side that wasn't. So if I had this like killer, amazing admin person at the time, my sister was not working for me. If I had her, I might have said, you do you and I'll stay in the classroom. But I didn't have that, right? And as I pulled myself out, I actually started to really like the admin side. So as I started to do the admin side, part of that was the front desk. So I, even though I wasn't teaching, I was working an even lower level job, right? Like the teachers make more money than the front desk does. So now I'm doing that. It was really just for me to go, I've got to get one thing off my plate at a time. Now I've got to get this off. And so all of a sudden it was, okay, now I've got to get out of the front desk. I need to become the manager of the front desk. And then all of a sudden I'm the manager. And now it's like, I can't even be the manager. There's just too much to manage here. I needed to replace myself there. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be different for everybody. And it comes to the point of too, like, what is something that could be moving your business forward so in such a huge way, but you're just not doing it, like marketing. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to do outreach. I don't want to do, okay, great. Then you need to hire somebody for that. You have to hire somebody.
Yes. That's right now. That's the part that I'm working on, which is why I signed up for Foot Traffic Formula. That was my first class in marketing. So,
oh, cool. Okay. That's really exciting.
Yes. But I was a kindergarten teacher, so I knew nothing. You got me my first funnel.
Yay!
So, that but makes now me so like, yeah, but, and I do enjoy it, but like, I know eventually I don't like my dream job is not to be a marketer.
Definitely.
So eventually I want to like hire that out and then, you know, go on to the next thing. And
100%. Well, and that was one of the reasons we said this next round, we're like, we need to allow them to bring in their social media manager because so many people, they're not interested or they don't have the time, but it has to get done. Yes. So here's the thing. I love marketing. Like it's my thing. I could literally do it all day long. I have to stop myself from working. That's why I'm still in it. If I was dreading it and hated it, I would still learn enough to be dangerous, as they say, but I would have somebody helping me implement it, getting it done. Like if you're not a techie person and you are just sitting here on a funnel that can't be built for weeks and weeks and weeks, this is not the area that you should be focused on right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm glad though that you got in, you are experiencing it. You know what you need to do. And now it might be time to have somebody help you actually do that. And it, maybe it's one of these managers.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do love it, but I just don't see myself being just, you know, just working on the sales and marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, we had our record month last month and congrats. I think it had a lot to do. Thank you with, you know, the marketing. And because I did not spend $1 on advertising in 2018, which was our first year.
Yeah.
So, you know, last month I set up my funnels and did some Facebook ads and it really did help a lot.
Okay. So I can't believe you did all of that. And you said, this is your first marketing class. Like that makes me so happy. And I also want to show, you know what though, you know why this is happening? Just the way that you talked a little bit ago and you said, I can do this. You have that attitude. Right? Oh, that attitude will get you so far because there's so many people that don't have that attitude and that's why it's not working. They think the strategy is not working for them. It's like, you're not working for you. Like you are.
I can figure it out.
Yeah. And I can tell that's your mentality, which is why you're having success, which is amazing because it's such a great characteristic to have as a business owner.
Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or anything else I can help you with?
I don't think so.
You've got a big project to do for sure with these systems.
Just definitely building the team. And I'm also struggling with like, how much do I share with them? Like how much do I bring them into the business? Yeah. So I'm thinking something I've been tossing around in my head is like my leadership team having like community retreats just so they can sort of see where I'm trying to go. Do you do anything like that with your dance studio?
Yeah. So, well, first we do a monthly leadership meeting and then we don't have it consistent enough yet, but we definitely want to start doing some leadership retreats where we go, we do something fun. It's not just in the studio and we really talk about vision. I don't share very specific numbers per se with people, but I definitely say like, hey guys, we had a tough summer. I might say to the leadership team, yes, we were down this much in sales, but I also make sure that they don't feel like we're all going to lose our job.
Summer's awful, isn't it? Yes. Because they can already see by like how many bodies are in the space.
Oh yeah. So it's like this curse because if I make a sound amazing, they all want raises. If I make a sound like we're not doing well, they all are scared. You have to find this fine line of, listen, we bring in this much money, but here is where it goes to. Like, I do share certain numbers because I need them to know, yeah, we bring in seven figures a year. We also spend seven figures a year. If you would see our payroll, if you would see our parking lot we have to do, you know, like all of these things. And I do have to be on it. Yeah, insurance. You'd have no idea what that kind of costs. When you own the building, it's way worse than renting too. So these are just things that I have to get somewhat honest because they need to know. But I don't want to be too honest because some of them couldn't handle it. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. If you don't understand like payroll and taxes and all of that, and I start spitting out numbers, you, like I said, you could be scared to death or you're thinking I need to be making three times what I'm making and you don't understand our profit and loss and balance sheet and all of that.
Okay. So your monthly meeting, is that staff wide or just your management team?
Our monthly meeting right now is just our leadership. When I'm done with that leadership meeting, I go into a private Facebook group for my staff. I just did it today actually. And I share all of the highlights of that meeting. What worked, what didn't, what some, maybe something good that happened or somebody that was shouted out in a positive way. And they get to hear that. But then they have meetings with their managers if they're not on the leadership team. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's how they reach out to you. Because I don't really want to give all of my staff members my cell phone number.
Nobody reaches out to me. Like, no, I'm not even kidding. I don't get one email or one phone call or text message from anybody but my sister.
Okay.
Like if they post under that video, I'll obviously go back and respond or something, but nobody would text or call me.
Okay.
The only time that would happen would be like my birthday. Sorry, that's okay. Yeah, like that's the only reason I would get a text message from them. It would be like, Merry Christmas or Happy Birthday. Like that's the only kind of messages I get from my team.
Okay. Does your general manager manage both of your spaces?
She does. That was a decision we made where everybody works in, not everybody, they don't have to. Many of our people work in both locations. So our front desk is intertwined. The general manager is the same general manager. We have one office manager for both locations. Many teachers teach at both locations. We treat it like one business.
And
it's just, it's really not separate. We obviously are monitoring the numbers separately, but we really act like we are one business and we have two campuses.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. How does she manage her time though? Splitting? Cause I'm thinking, you know, a general manager is expensive. That's my biggest payroll expense. Yeah. So when I open the second location, if I can figure out a way to have the same manager at both, that would help a lot.
Yeah. So she doesn't have to be in the location to be working on that location.
Okay.
So she even works from home a little bit as well. So, so she has to work on the business, you know, just as much as I'm doing it too. But sometimes when you treat it like one business and she's working on the business, you're working on the same thing. The only thing that we really truly separate is every month we're looking at our source report of where the customers came from divided by each location. And we're looking at our student count, all that stuff separate. We want to know like which one's doing great, which one's, you know, what's happening over here. But otherwise it really truly feels like one business. It does not feel like two locations.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't know how really to explain it. Yeah. Okay. I hope that.
Yeah. No, cause I've been thinking about it like it's two separate, but I'm going to start thinking how I can set it up to be one.
Yeah.
One
business. I mean, it's like our phone lines are the same. You can call either phone number and any location can answer. I can
transfer
you from one location to another on the phone line. We try to make sure like Franklin picks up when a Franklin phone number rings or Oak Creek and Oak Creek, but they can swap. It's kind of nice because if we're like, ooh, Franklin must be busy dealing with customer, Oak Creek knows if it rings more than three times, pick it up. It's a system, right? Like we have systems like that in place to help each other out. But I think when your phones are transferred, only one person has to be working 8 to 4 during the day to catch all those phone calls. You don't have to staff two people. So there's perks. Like we're saving money. We only have to invest in one piece of software, you know, every time, even though we have two businesses really thriving off of it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. All right. So as we're wrapping up, I want to ask you, what do you think your biggest takeaway was from Foot Traffic? I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but I'm.
Yeah. I think from being in with the other business owners, understanding the what marketing is versus sales, which sounds really basic, but I really had no idea.
I was just going to say, I actually think people are like, what does she mean? Marketing, sales are different. I'm not even kidding. I bet there's a lot of people listening that are shocked that you just said that and they're confused.
No, like just talking through like what my freebie was going to be with Claire, it really helped me figure out that I want, and like my Instagram account, I really want it to be show like the personality of my business. So it sort of gives a snapshot of what it's like to be a part of the Tumble Beans community.
Yeah.
And my engagement like shot through the roof after like I stopped making my Instagram just a promotion.
Yes.
And really wanted, it's like I'm opening the door to my business and letting my customers see inside. Mm-hmm. So I made a post about how we were throwing away a lot of trash and stuff, and it made me feel like awful. And I reached out to my community and they gave me some ideas. And then I shared, you know, a month later, like, these are the things that I implemented that you guys helped me with.
Wow,
and like, look
that's
what
amazing.
It's done. And it's really done a lot with my engagement. And
because you're having a conversation. Like, I mean, it's
exactly. Yeah. And I didn't really understand that, like, that's really what marketing was. Mm. I thought sales and marketing was just like posting, like, when I'm having a sale.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and the fact that your engagement's going up, you just had your biggest month yet. Like, this is huge. And it's working. Like, you have to just keep assessing what is working well. What do I just need to keep doing more of? And you need to stay on that path. Like, this is huge, Sharon. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a great 2 months. I loved working with everyone. All of the, like, Michelle,
yes,
and Nikki and the Claire, they are amazing. They
Thank
really
you.
Are amazing.
Yes, I am very, very lucky.
You as well.
Thank you. I am. Hey, complimenting my team is complimenting me. So I'm very appreciative. I appreciate you so much. And thank you for just being a go-getter, getting in there, not getting frustrated, just like cruising along and doing your thing, because the results right here are proof of that. So you guys listening, if you want to learn more about Foot Traffic, go to foottrafficprogram.com. All the details are there. Sharon, thank you so much again. This has been so fun. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. This was a lot of fun.
And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. If you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.